In this chapter, chapter 8, we had three different kinds of people, as we pointed out last week. There were those who took flight. Remember, Jesus said, whoever's without sin cast the first stone, and they all left. They weren't going to be a part of that. Just flying out of there. And then there were those who stayed because they wanted to fight. And we've seen that all through here. Well, we also saw, and I should have had in different order, last Sunday we saw the ones who saw the light. But these today we're seeing the ones who stayed to fight. They are those who fought Jesus not because of anything he did wrong, of course, but they did it because they were in charge. They wanted to stay in charge. Well, first of all, Jesus starts out with his sinlessness. He challenges them. You tell me, in which of you ever saw me commit a sin? Could you do that? I mean, truthfully, no, of course not. But Jesus, a man, but also God, could say, you can follow me around anywhere I go. You can watch me sleep at night. You can watch me wake in the morning, eat my lunch, eat my breakfast. Whatever I do, you can watch it, and you'll say, I have not committed one sin. Wow. That's a transparent walk. They could, and I think maybe did, do that. They walked around and said, let's watch him. If we find one sin in this man, we got him beat. And we'll just tell the world, hey, you did that, and we saw it. And we pointed out to a lot of people, we know now you're a fake, get out of here. They didn't do that. There was nothing but total silence. I love it. It was deafening silence to them. Isn't somebody going to say something? No, nothing to say. The Blackwood Quartet, one of the most famous of the country quartets, had a song they always sang. It went like this. Friend, how would you feel if your heart were made with a window on each side? You ever think about that? Everybody could see your inside thoughts, what you just thought then. I wouldn't want anybody to see that. No, you don't want that. Of course, that song said, go on and say, well, act like it's that way. Act like you have a window there. Act like everybody can see what you're thinking and what you're saying, what you're doing. Well, Jesus said, you can look at me, I don't care. Nothing is there. So that's his transparency of his walk. Then there's the trustworthy word. Jesus asked a question. If I tell you the truth, why do you not believe me? Now, how does that follow? Well, I never sin. That means I never tell a lie. So what I'm telling you, that's truth. Everything that comes out of my mouth has to be truth. Why don't you believe me? In fact, the word there is not if, but since. You know, it's an if, but it translates since. It's assumed to be true. Assuming. You just said, by your silence, you said, I don't lie. Well then, why don't you believe it? Since that's true. I told you, I'm one of Jesus' cheerleaders. I cheered on this one. You got him that time. So, since they didn't have anything to accuse him of, they have to believe him. Logically. And then, Jesus answers his own question. See, he asks the question, why don't you believe? Then he says, here's the answer, verse 47. He forms a syllogism. You know what a syllogism is? A major premise, a minor premise, and then a conclusion from those two things. Well, here's his major premise is, he who is of God hears God's words. Whoever is of God hears God's word. True? True. Because they have to be true. Then minor premise is, you do not hear God's word. What's the conclusion? you are not of God. He really nailed him to the wall with this one. If you don't hear God's word, and real believers know God's word, accept God's word, then you're not of God. So that's his challenge. Now, their charge, you have to answer that, don't you? 48 and 50 says this. And when the Jews answered and said to him, do we not say rightly that you are a Samaritan and you have a demon? You can't answer his questions. He's got you nailed to the wall here. And what do? Call him names. You call him, you're a Samaritan. What's that have to do with anything? You've got a demon. That's what's wrong with you. If you can't out-argue, then you hit his person. It's good old politics. You know, still use it today. He didn't say anything about the Samaritan. He doesn't answer, I'm not a Samaritan. Doesn't matter. You know why? Because he doesn't hate the Samaritans. You know what a Samaritan is? When the Assyrians came down and took the top 10 tribes into captivity, their way of defeating the thing and keeping people defeated was they would take half of those people out of there and put them over here into another country and bring half of those people over into that country. So they were half. That happened back in 722 BC. So you imagine how they had all, they kept having children. So the Samaritans were not Jews, only part Jew. And the rest were heathen. Well, that's the way you did it. You not only go in and occupy a place, you destroy it. Does this sound familiar? See, if you do that, you don't have a history. You don't have anything to be proud of. You don't have anything that brings you together. You don't have to bring people in. Just open the back door and let them come in by the millions. Oh, sounds familiar now. I could have my newspaper up here and the Bible in one hand, newspaper in the other. Look what happens. Jesus didn't take that bait. Those Samaritans were not his problem. He didn't hate them. Now, then the Jews hated them, but they didn't get a rise out of Jesus for that. Then he did deny the demon statement. Jesus said, I do not have a demon. See, they're the ones who follow the prince of demons. And they call him, say he has a demon. You know, you can't argue logically with people who will not be logical. And then he affirms his purpose for being there. You think I'm wrong here. Let me tell you why I'm here. And then he goes on to why. Why am I here in the first place? I honor my Father and you dishonor me. So in dishonoring him, they dishonor God because God sent him. But they don't seem to get that. But then he says, I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks me, and one who seeks and one who judges, and that is the Father. You said to yourself, wait a minute. He said, all judgment's been given over to me. No, he's talking about this one thing, his glory. Whether he is right or wrong, God decides that. God judges that. And you don't have any vote. So he's Philippians 2. Remember that? Wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Things in heaven, things in the earth, things under the earth, and every tongue will confess, Lord Jesus Christ. That's where we're headed. Down at the end of the whole thing, everyone is going to say, Lord Jesus Christ. Won't be for salvation. It will be to show who has salvation, who does not. So everyone was going to agree, finally. So those who deny the Son deny the Father also. You cannot say, I don't believe in Jesus, but I believe in God. No, you don't. Not the God, not Israel, not the God of Israel, not Jehovah God. You don't believe in Him if you don't believe in Jesus. Now, the Father is the one who decides which are which, who do believe, who do not. Now, He's the sinless one. But now He's going to tell them about His sonship. He is triumphant over the tomb, over death. Most assuredly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. No. So, Jesus is speaking spiritual death. They are thinking, or at least making out their thinking, physical death. See, it's not that they don't know, or that they couldn't know. You know, this is in the Old Testament. The Old Testament is filled with Jesus. In Job, as far back as Job, I think that Job was probably the first book written. First, certainly the first major character that's laid out in Job. It certainly happened before Moses and may have been written by Moses. And here's what Job said. I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at the last day on the earth. And after the skin, after my skin is destroyed, this I know. In my flesh I will see God. That's resurrection. That is spiritual resurrection. That is spiritual life. Never to die spiritually. That's what he's talking about. Daniel said the same thing. Daniel 12, verse 2. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. It's there. It's in the Old Testament. Not just there. All over the Old Testament. There is spiritual life. And Jesus is talking about that. And I think they knew it. But how can you say, oh yeah, well we understand that. Can't do that. Because they're against Him. They're fighting. Then their terrible disbelief comes out in verse 52. Then the Jews said to Him, now we know that you have a demon. Abraham is dead. Oh, here we go again. Physical death. Abraham's dead. The prophets, and you say, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste death. Well, he's talking spiritual death. I think they know it. And yet, that's their disbelief. And then their total disbelief, their argument. They say, are you greater than our father Abraham, who is dead, and the prophets who are dead? Who do you make yourself out to be? They're dead. Sure, they're dead physically. And they know that Jesus meant spiritually. But why don't they admit it? Well, because they're trying to see, Jesus is teaching in the temple. And there are, his followers are here. I think that the followers are right out here, and those people in the back are saying, hey, wait a minute, what about this? And what they're trying to do, they're talking to the followers, trying to get the followers to disbelieve Jesus. And so that's where they're going. And Jesus meant spiritually. So they're hoping that the followers of Jesus won't catch on to what they're doing. They'll say, oh yeah, that's right, they're dead. You're wrong. Walk away. They didn't do that. So that was their argument. But now his answer is this. He talks about God's inerrancy. Inerrancy simply means God can't lie. Everything God says is true. Everything God does is true. So he's saying, Jesus answered, if I honor myself. Now here's another if. Now he's not saying, since I honor myself. That's a different kind of if. The Greek has a different word. He said, if I did honor myself, and I don't. That's the way that should be translated. If I honor myself and I don't, then my honor would be nothing. It's not, it's my Father who honors me, of whom you say that he is your God. The one you serve, you say you serve, is the one who just said, I am who I am, who I said I was. But no, this God is inerrant. He can't lie. He cannot and he does not lie. If he honors Jesus, guess what? Jesus is God. So he lays them out very well. And they refuse to accept the obvious. They will not do it. So God's inerrant. God, who can't lie, proves that they are wrong, he's right. And then their ignorance. This is about the explanation. Their ignorance. You have not known him. That's it. You don't know God. They who know God... they know who God is. They just know, oh yeah, he's the God. But they claim to worship him. But you know, their hearts are far from him. And they don't worship God. They worship the law. They worship the temple. Yeah. Some people are like that. Oh, I worship this great big church I go to. This is the holy place. Not holy. Except as the holy people come in. Except as we do the holy things here. As we love one another. As we show forth the love of God. That's when it's special. The people go out and the church is still a building. Just a building. Don't worship the church. Worship the Lord. And then when you're here, you'll make this church special. They were ignorant. To them... He's just way off there somewhere. But we're the ones that have the religion. Well, then his integrity, Jesus' integrity. So, but I know him. And if I say I do not know him, then I will be a liar just like you. is that kind of what? I'd be a liar like you are if I didn't say I was him and I know him. But I know him and I keep his word. See, Jesus uses two words for know here. There's one word that means to know by experience. That's probably the best way to say it. By experience. They don't have that knowledge. They've not experienced him. So he says, you don't know him. But I know him. And that knowing is innate or taught. He has that knowledge from way back. That's why it's important for children to be brought up before the Lord, brought up with the knowledge of the Lord, because it's innate, it's ingrained. You can't get away. I was in the Navy, and we would sit around a lot of times. We'd be on watch, and this guy's on watch, he's on watch. We all get together, sit there, and talk. If we got caught, we're in trouble. But we talk about, they bring out the Bible. And they say, I know this and this and this and this. And I'd say, I'm sorry, I cannot go with that. I wasn't a believer. Raised in a parsonage, wasn't a believer. But I could not agree with what they were saying. And I had to say something. It just came up. Why? Because I had some of that innate knowledge. And knowledge that was there and could not be removed. But I said, I'd be a liar like you if I did that. No. Jesus knew the Father. And he obeyed him. He kept his word. No. That's the triumph over the tomb. That's one argument he's making. I've triumphed over the grave. That's only God. Only God does that. And then he's... transcendent over all time. Now, follow this thing. The rejoicing of the Hebrew patriarchs. He says, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it, and he was glad. Your father Abraham refers to their father, their physical father Abraham. Now, You ask yourself, and they probably did too, when did Abraham see Jesus' day? When was that? How could he possibly do that 2,000 years before Christ? Well, the Lord appeared to Abraham one time, a lot of times, but at one particular point, in Genesis 12:7, he said, "Your descendants," and that's the word seed, "to your descendants I will give this land." Now, Galatians 3:16, Paul comments on that. He said, "Now, to Abraham and to his seed were the promises made." He does not say, I'm still quoting Paul, he does not say, "and to seeds as of many," but as of one seed. "To your seed, who is Christ," end of quotation. He was talking about Christ through Abraham. Abraham saw his day. Abraham was told by God, "Your seed," that one seed, "is going to inherit this land." That in the millennium, he's going to rule over this land. And so Abraham saw his day there. He was ready to give over everything he had to the Lord, who was going to give him that one seed. Now, their reaction. One more thing. He might have seen Abraham's day when he offered Isaac. Wouldn't that be something? Abraham offered his son, was ready to offer him, and ready to put the knife in, and the angel held him back. Gave another thing. But here he was. His own son, like God gave his son, and he's going to offer his son. He was going to offer his son. Wouldn't that be a good picture for Abraham to see? That's what we're talking about. I'm going to give my son, and he's going to die for the world. Well, that may have been another idea. But Abraham saw my day, and he rejoiced. And you say you're Abraham's children. And then the reaction of these Hebrew people, 57. Then the Jews said to him, "You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?" They're still thinking physical, visual. They could not understand how Jesus had seen Abraham. Then he gives a revelation to these Hebrew, a revelation of this Hebrew prophet himself. Disclosure of his deity, 58. He says, Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." Now that "I am" is a name for God. I am. And so it's a title of deity. We find it in Exodus 3:14, very vividly, and other places too, but also in John 8:28. Jesus being the I am. He's the I am. He's God. And these are the words of a daring, deluded blasphemer. You say that, you say, "I am the I am." God ought to strike you dead. He won't. But he ought to. But you're a blasphemer. And Jesus is either a blasphemer or he is really God in the flesh. The latter, of course, is true. Now, we know that Jesus understood as the first. He knew. He was that. They thought, the Jews said, "Hey, you're a blasphemer." He was not. Now, the denial of his deity. They denied that. You know, when you face Jesus Christ as the God, when you face him, you can do one of two things. You can bow down and worship him. Or you can stoop down and pick up stones and kill him. One of the two. One or the other. It isn't just, "Well, I won't decide." No, you do decide. You decide when you decide not to decide. You're giving it up. Okay. So he said, they stooped down and they picked up stones. And remember, Jesus, we started out this chapter with a stoning, possible stoning. And Jesus said, whoever's without sin, cast the first stone. That's when they walked away. Now we're going to end this chapter with another stoning, supposedly, hopefully, they said. So they picked up stones. The temple was in the process of being, always in the process of being built. And there were big stones around. We're not talking little stones. Not that. Big stones. Big stones that would kill somebody. That's the way they killed Stephen. Acts 7. They picked up stones. And it'd be big old things. And Stephen was in a pit. They threw it down. That's how they killed him. You don't kill him with little stones. Rocks. Bricks. Boulders. That's what they were doing. How's he going to get out of this? This is the place where the soap operas leave you hanging. Come back tomorrow. No. How are you going to do this? Well, verse 59 says, but Jesus hid himself and went out to the temple, and going through the midst of them, he passed by. They're trying to kill him, and he walks right through the middle. And nobody saw him. How'd he do that? He's God. Oh, so many things. They don't think he's God, and he gives them a sure testimony by his actions. He walked out of there. They didn't know who he was. They didn't know he's gone. Well, we're at the end of chapter 8. There are three kinds of people in chapter 8. Remember what they are? The ones who took flight, the ones who stayed to fight, and the ones who saw the light. Did you see yourself there? Did you see yourself in only one of those? Or maybe in two? Three? No. It's possible for us to see ourselves there in the light. But maybe in the flight. Oh, I wouldn't run away from God. Well, some people do it. They take the flight, losing, getting away from the Savior. Others, they take a flight away from the Lord after they are saved. Then they run away. Oh, I don't want to do this. I don't want to work. I didn't know you want me to work. I just wanted a little life insurance, fire insurance here. No. Some people are avoiding getting into service for the Lord. Running away. Fighting to refer to disbelieving God's word. That's fighting. But not only that, not doing it yourself, but fighting others who do. Oh, yeah. It can happen. I don't like him, so I don't like anything he does. Huh? In the same church? It can happen. But you can see the light, too. I hope we all saw ourselves in the light. As the light, coming to the light, and then sending out the light. That's what we are. Don't do the flight. Don't do the fight. Send the light.